The show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and as always, I'm going to lose my voice because I've been talking so much already. But in any case, my guest today is pretty special. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, that when you meet somebody, and we had a little extra time than normal to talk this morning, about a half an hour, and when you get talking to somebody and you go into subjects that, you know, are pretty neat, you feel like you've known somebody for quite a while. And our guest, that's how I feel about our guest, that, you know, we've known each other for quite a while and just had a nice, easy conversation. I want to introduce Justin Coe, from the owner of The Son of Egg, which is a Korean restaurant in Rensselaer. Morning, Justin.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. We had a great conversation there. We learned a little bit about you and told you a lot about me. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. I love talking to people that weren't from America and get their opinions and views on different things. And you've been here for quite a while. But in any case, it was fun talking with you this morning about that stuff. And that's what we'll do this morning too.
Great. Okay?
What I want you to do is, first of all, the Son of Egg is located on 483 Broadway in Rensselaer. And we'll give the, website and, the phone number out later on in the show. But Justin, why don't you tell us about how the Son of Egg began?
First, wanted to greet the people. 안녕하세요. That means hello in Korean. Son of Egg is a fast casual Korean restaurant. So I call it the gateway to Korean food. And even speaking with Rick here, a lot of people, when they enter a new restaurant, especially with the new cuisine that they've never tried, it kind of, they don't know what to order. So my goal of even coming to the station and also spreading about Korean culture and food is to educate first on what people can eat. But Son of Egg started in the midst of the lockdowns during the pandemic in 2020. We signed the lease March 2020, and then we opened up in April 21st. Of 2020. So to just go in the background of why this restaurant happened, it's twofold. So my grandma on my mother's side, I started this restaurant with my mother. So my grandma on my mother's side has Alzheimer's. So she wanted to keep her mind sharp, and she remembered when I was in high school that she ran a cafe, espresso deli cafe in Portland, Oregon. And she remembered when she ran a business, she was constantly thinking about new ideas and being creative and liked the flow of just thinking. And while I was in college, she's very involved in the church, and she goes to the local church in Waterville called Sarang, and which means love in Korean. And she was serving the college students of that time. So this was in 2013. I have an older brother, and I was also now transitioning into a different school and just like a different time period. So they moved out here, and then I moved back closer to my friends out in the West Coast, in Washington State. But she remembered when she was serving in the local church to the students, she was hoping for another mother to be serving me food like the way she was serving them. And so from this idea and what was happening to my grandma, she wanted to start another business, opening up a restaurant, serving Korean food. What she wanted to share the culture, and the food really represents what my mom would feed us. So yeah, that's kind of how the idea started. And then yeah, we started out in 2020. And now it's about 5.5 years in, and we are at our second location in Rensselaer. And we unfortunately closed down the first location where we started in, out in Albany, due to just like issues with landlords and whatnot. But it was a great learning experience, and got to experience managing two restaurants, and now I want to expand this, and I think we're going to talk about it later on, but that's kind of the general background of how Son of X started.
Okay. So really, she opened up her first restaurant on the West Coast. That's what you were saying.
Yes.
And do you get back to the West Coast often?
I try to go there once a year because I have a very close friend out there.
Okay.
So I take the time to go out and see
him and his family. Neat. And we talked about getting back to Korea. You've been there half a dozen times since you've been here. And that's always neat, too. And, you know, it's I was talking to you before that I'm pretty close to a Chinese student here, that we take care of, and it's amazing learning different cultures, because we can learn so much about that too. I know you learn about American culture, but you know, I've learned so much about Chinese, and I'm sure, and ni hao is how you say hello in Chinese, because I'm also taking Chinese lessons, which I'll never master, but it's just great to learn about different cultures and different foods from different cultures. And I just want to know, you had mentioned that your business, your idea is to how to get people to know about Korean food and what to order when they go out. Do you have eat-in? People can eat into at the restaurant, or is it just takeout?
Yes.
So they can eat in.
It's a much larger restaurant now. We first started out in like a 700 square foot dining space and another like 700 square foot for the kitchen. But now it's about triple that. So we have an upstairs that we do different events. It's kind of unique. When you enter, you can just order at the counter. Like most sit down restaurants, you kind of get greeted and brought to a table, but just pick a spot, order the food. If we're not busy, we'll bring the food out to you. But if not, you can just pick it up at the counter.
Oh, really? That's neat.
It has a full bar at this one. So
okay.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, I guess so. But actually, when you have a bar, because I used to work in a restaurant when I was in high school. And after, you know, I got out of college and started a landscaping garden center business. And I used to bartend at night. And I think you do more business when you have a bar. Because people like to go out and have a drink with dinner, you know, rather than just a Coca-Cola or water with no ice. Because cold water, I found out a couple of years ago, is not good for you. So, but that's pretty neat. And have you found that you get a lot of college students at the restaurant, or is your clientele varied?
Yeah, it varies a lot. We're a little bit further from the schools now, but our target audience has always been around students, because
okay.
the the vision was kind of like feeding the students from my mom. Okay. So our goal is to be always around
like
young professionals and the college students to really get that feel like you're at home.
Well, I know I was talking about the restaurants that we go to that are home-based, like the Chinese restaurants that are real Chinese food, not American Chinese restaurants. And you see a lot of families in there. So I think people want to, that know that or are have family, even generations back, want to keep up the tradition of eating the food that they were either brought up on or their parents or grandparents were brought up on. So how do you get to the point where you can educate your customers on what type of foods that, you know, they want?
So I'll share a couple right now. So bulgogi is marinated beef. It's our most popular item. It's part of Korean barbecue. So whenever you hear about Korean barbecue, these are one of the main meats, the preparations that they serve. And every culture has a type of like fried chicken. Mm-hmm. So this is our version of katsu. A lot of the times it's served as pork, but we serve it as chicken. So those are like two things. If you don't know what to order, you can't go wrong. We also have our vegetarian or vegan options, I think times have changed. Even with the bars, like, notice that a lot of younger people may not drink alcoholic drinks. So we have like different options for them.
Yeah.
But if you do, I think what makes our bar unique is soju. It's a very popular rice liquor Korea. And it has many flavors. And I'm sure all the college students now kind of know about soju.
Yeah, that's interesting. But no, trends do change. I mean, for so long, I know back when I was bartending, you know, it was the Manhattans or the Scotch on the Rocks or Scotch and Soda or whatever. And now when you go out and you see the girls are drinking wine or, you know, it's just not, and the guys are drinking like, you know, iced tea, hard iced tea or whatever. So times change. And that's neat that you have something from Korea that they can drink, you know. Pretty potent, is it?
Well, it's like it's not as strong as vodka. So it's funny that we were talking about like Chinese culture a bit. They call soju holy water because it's kind of like very, very easy to drink. So a lot of these like Korean dramas, they depict the nightlife with like a bunch of soju bottles on the table.
Really?
Yes.
So who calls it holy water?
That's what I heard my Chinese friend call it.
Oh, the Chinese call it holy water because they probably can drink more of it than vodka.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know why vodka seems to be the choice of alcohol because I know some of the Asian students that I know, they like vodka. So I don't know why, but maybe there's
easily
no taste.
Accessible, maybe.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. And there's really not a strong taste like whiskey or right, scotch right, right. in it. I don't know. But all right, so you've got two go-to foods that someone that doesn't know about Korean food that much that they can't go wrong on. But what do you suggest, like if I go in and I say, you know, I'd like to have a dish, and I told you some of the eating problems that I have, you could make suggestions on what I should try.
We have a grilled chicken as well.
Okay.
There's various. And then I've noticed that a lot of people are going to, like, mushroom as a different type of protein. So we serve a lion's mane mushroom that's marinated the same way as our beef.
Yeah, okay.
Those are two healthy options. But if you want a more traditional Korean dish, it's called bibimbap, which is getting a lot more popular now, surprisingly. It's bibimbap means mixing rice, like direct translation. So it's a dip. It's various vegetables, very colorful, because it has eggs, carrots, cucumbers, lettuce, various vegetables over rice with a sauce called gochujang, which is hot chili paste. But you don't, if you don't want, it's not too spicy, because when you end up mixing everything,
yeah,
okay, maybe not for me, but it can have a kick to it if you don't eat spicy food that much. But we also have a different sauce that we use that you can mix it with, so it's not too spicy.
Okay.
But gochujang is very popular and used a lot. And it's also, I was watching a Korean show and it was saying the preparation of gochujang is like one of the traditions that they want to keep with the set process.
Okay.
So it's like in the palaces and stuff.
Oh, all right.
They keep
so
it in the jars.
Yeah, you don't want to, right.
And kimchi. I'm not sure if you heard of kimchi, but it's like the Korea's people's pickles.
Oh, really?
Fermented cabbage.
Okay. And like sauerkraut.
Yeah, very similar.
Similar, yeah.
But it's a bit spicy. It doesn't have to be spicy. There's so many different variations of it, but we do also have our own kimchi that we sell.
Okay.
At some retail stores and a couple restaurants.
Now, you talk about spicy food. I hate to keep bringing Chinese culture in and discussion, but Barbara likes really hot food, spicy food. And one day she gets a spicy noodle soup with the glass noodles. And they put a fried egg on the top. So she usually only eats half of it. So she was over the house and was done. So I got her bowl and I was going to, you know, empty it and then put it in the dishwasher. And I said, I'm going to try a piece of that egg. Right. And I took a little tiny piece. I ate it and it burned my mouth. And so she goes, Dad, what are you doing? You're not supposed to eat that. And I said, I just want to try a little piece. She goes, well, we use red hot pepper oil.
Chili oil.
And I said, but how can you do that? It doesn't burn your mouth. And she goes, no, when you're brought up like that, she said it. I mean, she wasn't even panting like a normal person would. Now, do you have things that spicy, that's really, really hot? Or is yours pretty much tempered?
I guess it depends on your tolerance for spicy food. Because I used to put the gochujang on just like a potato and just eat it.
Okay.
But I think now, as I'm a bit older, my body doesn't take it the same.
Doesn't tolerate the...
Yeah, but our chili oil is pretty spicy, but I wouldn't say gochujang is like a sweet spicy.
Okay.
It does have a kick, but doesn't linger as much.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I mean, that little tiny piece of egg stayed with me for about a day. It was burning, and I don't know how she does it. But, her parents eat, her father eats that way. Her mother doesn't like to. So I guess if you're brought up that way and you're young, you can tolerate a little more heat.
Some people seek out that flavor and maybe a bit of pain.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they must like pain. So they must like pain other ways too, you know, whatever. But so do you serve anything other than Korean food?
Our food is kind of like a representation of our family. Our family moved to the States in 99. So I think the culture that I kind of represent has the background of Korean, but culturally I'm very American.
Okay.
So it's the Korean influence with an American taste. I think that's like the best way to describe it. So I called it the gateway. So if you maybe have never tried traditional Korean food and a little weary of trying, this would be like a good step to kind of get an introduction.
Yeah, I think if you've never had Korean food, and I mean, and you want to get into it, I think it's, there's a base that you can start with and
yes.
move yourself up, you know. So you only have the one restaurant now in Rensselaer.
Yes.
But you've expanded it quite a bit, and you can have parties and that there.
Yeah, different offerings, different okay. events.
No, go ahead.
We have upstairs that's pretty big, that can fit up. I think the max capacity is 120 people. So people have booked it for baby showers, graduation parties. RPI has done a fraternal, like, end of the year party, like formal kind of thing. A bunch of people have come and kind of rented out the space. We also offer catering if you'd like at the location. And then there's been a bunch of music shows for about 2 years now. Work with the local organizers and also having comedians and board game networking groups come in on Friday. So we have the comedy open mic on Tuesdays, and then there's a mini show that the local comedians do on Thursdays.
Oh, neat.
So it's kind of interesting now that our restaurant is beyond just serving food. It's really a third space. Have you heard of the term third space?
No.
It's like a social environment other than your home being your first place and your work being your second place.
Okay.
So I think as we head more towards like a digital world and more involvement with like AI, I think these restaurants and cafes will play an important part for the social aspect that everyone will crave. And I think we've all experienced it during the last 5 years that you think that you want to be alone, but it's never the case. We're social creatures.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's one thing COVID taught a lot of people, and that hurt a lot of things too, being isolated like we were. But you know, you came out of it in good shape. And I give you a lot of credit for that, because a lot of people wouldn't have taken on that type of adventure of starting a business. Especially the way the business climate is then and the way it is now. I mean, you can't get people to work, and, you know, I give you a lot of credit.
Yeah, it's hard to say that. I mean, we signed the lease not knowing that something like that was ever going to happen. So once we signed the lease, there was nothing we could do except try our best. So I feel fortunate knowing that. It was very unfortunate circumstances for a lot of people.
Yep.
But now I was focused on building a business during this time, and it kind of sheltered me from everything that was going on, because it was just my mom and myself for about 8 months before we even hired one employee, and we opened from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And we lived up in Half Moon during that time, so we would drive to Albany. So these are about 14-15 hour days that we started. So I always tell people, when you look at the restaurant now, you kind of get a different impression, but all we could do was build from the first day. The first day during that 12-hour shift, one friend of my mom's visited, like, that was the only customer the first day. So the second day maybe it was like three people, and it kept just building from there. So while people were concerned about their work, businesses closing, not people not having work, staying at home, they all had these very stressful thoughts. But I suppose the privilege to kind of like not think about those things and really just think about growing the business. So it allowed me to kind of not think about the negative things and just kind of focus on what I can do to get more customers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's great. I think what you did from COVID and building a business up to what it is now is fantastic. But I think that shows your work ethic also. Most people wouldn't have done that. You know, they would have given up or just cut back and, you know, write it out. But that was a good time for you to be there from 9 to 9 and build up the business and gain a lot of experience.
Yeah, I think now looking back, I give a lot of credit to my mom, too. Definitely, I mean, she was the visionary of the restaurant. I was working in e-commerce, selling stuff on Amazon before that. But when she was starting this business, she just asked for help. And originally, I told her I'll give her a 9-month commitment. But working at the restaurant opened a lot of doors in the sense that everybody loves food. Everybody loves talking about food.
Sure.
So even being in Albany, these politicians, lawyers, whoever, just wanted to talk to me just because they love the food.
Right. And it's different. And they love the food. And is that what you went to college for? You said you were doing e-commerce.
I went to college for business.
Okay.
And economics.
All right.
So I think maybe my mom wanted the return on my education.
On your education, for what she put in for it. How was that e-commerce on Amazon?
It was very good.
Was it?
So, but I knew that both businesses would not do as well if I was doing both. So I gave up everything on the e-commerce side to focus on the restaurant. But I'm very thankful for the experiences because I took the e-commerce approach and brought it to the restaurant. So I've noticed that the restaurant owners in the area were a bit older. They were 40, 50 years old, most of them. And their processes were a little outdated compared to what was happening in e-commerce and just the internet,
right,
online businesses. So I put the knowledge of how online businesses work and applied it to the restaurant industry. So I feel like a lot of the momentum that was built was because I was very aware of, because from my experiences, like sometimes ordering from a restaurant can get frustrating if their online ordering isn't good, or
mm-hmm.
you call and it's not even the right number.
Oh, yeah.
And so just focusing on the customer experience, how to make it the best way possible. So we've introduced right away that you could like text an order. And
really?
Just like making a very smooth transaction for the customer to be able to order whichever way they prefer.
Sure. Well, your best form of advertising is your happy customer.
For sure.
And that can bring in a lot of business. If you keep your customers happy, they're going to, I mean, that's your greatest form of advertising. It's like having an ad on TV. And they tell a person. And you know.
That's how exactly I got here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jim, he's a great guy. And
right.
I'm glad you're on. I mean, we can do this every once in a while. I think it's fascinating what you've done. And I don't know, because the restaurant, you know, being in the restaurant business myself, not owning or anything, but it's a tough business. And if you own your own business, you have to put your life into it to make it work. Otherwise, you know, it's not an 8-to-5, 9-to-5 hour job. 5 days a week. It's your life. And
I would say that is kind of the stigma that the restaurant industry gets, right? And oftentimes as a worker in the restaurant, it's known to like, or people think that you're not getting paid well, and it's very stressful, long hours and like a labor, right? And running a restaurant, people would just imagine those sentiments and think that it's like some hard tasks, mm-hmm. which can be, right? I think it's a bunch of little tasks that when looked at it collectively can seem very daunting. But I would say it's more of these small tasks that are relatively easy, and if you are able to just create systems to keep it easy, then the overall collective can be a bit easier.
And I think
early on when I was doing those long shifts and noticing these things, I quickly recognized that this is not sustainable for myself. And I was 25 at the time. This is like probably when I had the most, will have the most energy, right? And then looking at my mom, who is much older, I recognize that it won't be sustainable. So I have to create ways to make it more sustainable in the future, because we can't be working 15 hours a day for 6 days of the week. And that's where it kind of built up. I was just very conscious and really looking to create a way that my mom doesn't have to work such strenuous hours and labor as much.
Sure. Well, you're a good son.
I think the whys are important. I could complain a lot about the upbringing. I mean, everybody can, right? But I am a product of their upbringing. So I would say now as an adult, I recognize that they probably gave me the right teachings.
Yeah, but that's with everybody, though. Yes. I mean, it's like school. When you're in school as a kid, you can't wait to get out. I was talking to somebody the other day. I forgot how old she was or he was, but they couldn't wait to get out of school. And now they're out of school and, only went to a community college, but she's in the real world now. And she said, I wish I was back in high school. She said, I have bills now, more responsibility. So you do have different stages. We talked about that too before. You have different stages in life. And so I think the key is to always enjoy the one you're in. Right. But it's hard when you're young to do that.
Yeah, it's hard to recognize the present moment.
Exactly.
And then that is always the best moment, right?
It is. It's the best moment of your life. And as you get into the next one, you look back and say, that was great. It was a great time.
Yes.
And this is a challenge. But like you've shown, challenges can be broken down into small units and where they're fun to do. And then when you put them together, then you've got a finished product. Plus, I don't think it hurts to bring in today's tools that they didn't have years ago, like computers or AI or the different programs that I'm sure you use into making a better business. Because they worked a lot harder back then.
Definitely.
And, you try to use the knowledge that you've gained, plus the way technology has changed to put into your business to make it a little bit easier. Because you think back, what would your mother have done or grandmother have done if they had this knowledge with technology and that? What could they have done with that,
Right.
But they wouldn't have had your college experience either, so...
It's interesting how the small things in your life that you did in the past can help you to where you are. So to anybody listening, I'm sure everyone can relate with that you never really know the experiences that you're going through, how it's going to affect you in the future. So sometimes our biggest struggles are our power for the present moment or into the future.
Yeah, really. Did you have any past experience in managing a restaurant before you got involved in the family business? You didn't?
No.
So it's just working in the family business. And then as you got more and more involved, using your
I was a waiter at my friend's Chinese restaurant.
Oh, you were?
In Clifton Park. They're not around anymore, but that was, I was doing that right before, alongside like the e-commerce stuff, I was doing that right before we opened up the restaurant.
Okay. American Chinese restaurant?
It was pretty traditional, like Shanghai cuisine.
What's it?
It was called Sparks.
Oh, okay.
In Clifton Park.
In Clifton, but not there anymore.
Yeah.
See you on last of them.
I think it went to different interests.
Yeah. Well, that everybody does that. And a lot of people find the restaurant business daunting. I mean, they find it overwhelming because you do have to put a lot of your life into it.
Definitely, because there's a lot of things that you need to do. So it's not for everybody if you aren't organized or able to recognize certain systems you can put into place.
Right.
Well, so I think that's where my background in like the online businesses and just like thinking about processes came into play.
Yeah.
And it helped out a lot. And then having fresh eyes too.
Oh, exactly. Plus you have to give up a lot of your life.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people that try to keep up with the lifestyle they want and don't want to put the time in, but say they do, they're going to be a failure because you have to give up a lot of your life to make a successful business, any business that wants to be a success. You have to give up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we were putting about 84 hours a week, you know.
Yeah.
That is not something that everyone's willing to do, but sometimes when you're like forced to do it, and if you, because this was the only way to succeed in my mind. Like, you just put in the time now, and you're gonna reap the benefits. And I think I'm seeing that now.
Yeah, that's that. You know, that's it. And there's not many people that have that work ethic, though. You know, I don't know if it's because it's a family business that you're do that way, or your background, your ethnic background, because it seems like people that come over here from different countries have a different work ethic than we do, and they aren't afraid to put in time to make themselves grow. I mmean, that's my perspective, outlook on things.
I think the American culture has shifted because America was always the place of innovation, and it was a lot of hard work from previous generations that got us to the point where maybe we could feel more comfortable. So maybe it's just the effect. The people that maybe worked extremely hard maybe didn't want that lifestyle for their kids, and maybe that we're kind of experiencing now. But I didn't see it as any other option to not do it this way.
Sure.
And looking back, at the time I was thinking, man, this is like something that's not sustainable and I don't want to do. But when I look back, I'm like, man, the energy and drive I had during that time is like, I want that.
Yeah.
So now I'm like pushing for more challenges and to honestly like get in those moments, because I feel like those are the stories now. Like, even because I went through that, people wouldn't be on their radio show.
That's right. Well, you know, not to get into, non-restaurant topics, but our culture has always been, every generation wants to make it better for the next generation, to the point where I think there had to have been a cutoff point, though, because you keep doing that and you end up with a weak generation, because what made the previous generations great was the experiences they had to go through.
And the suffering.
And the suffering, the hardships, and that makes you a strong person and look for ways to better yourself. But if you've got everything easy when you're growing up and that's not the real life, then you run into problems. And I think that's one of the different things about culture that you can learn from, is that a work ethic, dedication, going through bad times makes you a stronger person. And look for ways, like you did, look for ways to make it easier, but still have a great end product. And it seems to me that your restaurant benefits from that way of thinking, because I've heard nothing but great things about it. And, you know, I had said to Barbara, we should take a ride down. I mean, when she was there, if I knew about this, Jim, if you told me earlier, knew about this, we would have taken a ride over, because, you know, I just would have liked that food, I'm sure.
Yeah, whenever I'm up in Saratoga, people keep always mention to me that I should open one up here. So,
well, that's what I said to you this morning.
Yeah, I hope, you know, hope that is the case.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, I mean, it's nice if you could own it because of your background and ethic, but you don't want to spread yourself too thin either. I mean, can you take time off from the restaurant and have it run smooth, or is it just such a tight run operation that you need to really be on top of things?
I got into a point where I don't know if this is necessarily the optimal, but I step out of the restaurant now to try to mimic what it would be like in the future. So if I did have multiple locations, it needs to operate, because I can't be at five places at once.
No, exactly.
So I'm creating the systems and ways for it to operate on its own. And sometimes I feel as if the employees get there's like less tension. Like, they can be themselves, and I think sometimes they even operate better if I'm not there, in a sense, because they're not stressed about what I'm thinking about what they're doing.
Or what you're going to say.
So I try to just inspire them to be the best that they can and train them the best that I can. So my goals for the upcoming months are to really take the knowledge that I know from what I've learned, to give it to them, to also give them a plan. So this is like something that I wanted to talk about. I've done hundreds of interviews, and we've gone through a lot of employees, and I've noticed a common theme among people that are looking for work in a restaurant. And the theme is that a lot of them don't have a destination or a plan for their future. So a job like a restaurant, it's not like an office job where you're working with a retirement plan. So I've now informing the plan for them in a way like a 401k. And the best way, in my opinion, is for them to open up their own restaurant. If they're already working in the restaurant, they should open up their own restaurant. And if they align with the values that Son of Egg has, hopefully they're inspired to open up a Son of Egg. And if they're already working there, and then I can give them the eyes to what to see and how to operate. Because I've done every position of the restaurant, whether it's the cooking, to everything, right?
Yeah.
So I've never asked someone to do something that I wasn't willing to do. And also, if I give them the reasons of why you do certain things a certain way, hopefully the accumulation of all the knowledge that they learn while working at the restaurant will make it easy for them to own a restaurant.
Right.
Because the stigma is that owning a restaurant is difficult, but I don't think that's necessarily the case if you know what to look for and have already experienced it. And if they also have the support of me, I think the chances of failure are minimized, because the proof of concept is there.
Yeah. So basically what you've done, you're doing or planning is building a template for someone to open a business, son of egg, and you have the framework of what they should do with, you can help them out as far as giving them direction and that.
So a general plan, it is that I feel like the goal, because they, if they don't have a goal, it doesn't matter what you do. It's like the story about Alice in Wonderland when she gets to the fork in the road. Mm-hmm. She sees the cat and she asks, hey, which path should I take? The cat says, where are you going? Alice says, I don't know. And the cat said, it doesn't matter which way you go then. And if so, so applying this to just generally to anyone's life, if you don't necessarily know where you're going, you might just wander aimlessly. So I'm offering an option, a plan for these people that generally don't have a plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than like, because saving up is probably pretty difficult for a restaurant worker.
Yeah.
But if you create the way, the path for you to be able to own your own restaurant, and it's cash flowing, an income for you, and you can own multiple ones through this way, then you essentially created a retirement plan for yourself.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Through business.
Yeah, that's neat. I just want to mention you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio, and the phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. So do you have any plan or about franchising? Maybe, I know you want to open multiple locations yourself, but have you thought about franchising?
Yeah, I always thought about it because I read the statistic that, first of all, the 20% of small businesses are restaurants in the U.S. And of the 20%, 80% of those restaurants are chains, are franchises.
Okay.
So that tells me that all that means is that you just need systems in place. And recently I met a guy out of San Francisco called, he owns a restaurant called Ike's Love and Sandwiches. And I got on the phone with him and I can get guidance from him basically at any time. But he gave me the rundown of how he has over 100 locations across states, multiple states. And whether it's for me to get multiple locations through investments, which would definitely accelerate that, or as he did the few that he owned, or he owns 100 of them himself. Hmm. But all some of the locations, he got investors to go in with him in that location. So giving up like the equity in the business is not necessarily it's not needed, but it can be done through each location.
Okay.
So I have an idea, because he was also explaining to me that if you look at there's different ways to franchise. So I don't know if people know, but Subway is a franchise that owns zero locations. They only sell their intellectual property to these franchisees.
Oh, really?
But Subway itself owns no restaurants. So there's different ways to go about the franchising. But even with like a place like Subway, Subway used to be very popular in my opinion, but I don't hear really much people talking about like going to a Subway. But if you actually, but everybody knows about Subway.
Yeah,
so their branding is very strong. So they actually sold recently for $8.8 billion or something. So this shows me that when there's more locations, the branding is stronger. And just think about if we have one location right now, but if we had five locations, they would all do better because the fact that there's five that exists.
Yeah.
Because the brand, if someone sees one in Latham, Saratoga, Schenectady, wherever it is, and then they see it in another city,
oh yeah,
they're going to be like, okay, they know what they're doing, and they're more likely now to visit one, if not multiple of them.
Or, yeah, I mean, if you're in Saratoga, if you live in Saratoga and you like it and it's good, and you happen to be down in Albany and there's one there, and you say, hey, let's go there. I mean, you know, we like the food in there. I think that's a really good way to go. But, you know, you had mentioned Subway, and I think the reason is that tastes change. And we're getting more, I don't know the right term. I don't want to slant this in any way. We're getting more culturalism here. I mean, you know, we talked about a larger Asian population, and that has a big influence even on Americans because the different foods, and you get to like it. And I mean, like sushi, that's a big thing now here, where years ago it wasn't. So maybe places like Subway that have the same thing is going out of style because there's more influences on food that are different that people like. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of factors in play for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, oh, there are. It's crazy. I mean, but you got franchises like McDonald's and Burger King that are franchises, but some of them are company owned too.
Right.
You know, so, but I think your plan is great, and it has a great view on it that the more stores you have by owner or even a franchise that you can kind of oversee is good because multiple locations.
Yeah, hopefully it's done majority through our employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a ebook for the employees. Basically, I called it the escape plan of this plan of having equity in the restaurant and even where they work. And you can find it at sonofegg.com/escape plan. But if you're also an investor that wants to help expand into different locations, I'm considering it. But both of that, you can fill out a form and I can contact you.
Yeah, there's a form on the website, which is sonofegg.com.
Yeah, but the URL that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Is not linked from anywhere, so it might be hard to find, but if you just search sonofegg.com/escape plan,
okay,
you'll be able to fill out a form for your interest in the ebook, the plan that I set out for the employees, and also if you're an investor, you can fill out a different form.
That's really interesting. I mean, and I think, too, the more locations will probably get more investors. I mean, it's kind of like a domino effect.
For sure.
You know, you got to have one thing before you get the other.
Definitely.
And, you know, as long as you have a good product. And but I do want to find out more about that holy water. before you leave it here, I want to get a few
items for sure, for you.
But so, look, we have about a minute left. Is there anything you want to finish up? I just want to give the phone number, the 518-481-4921. That's 518-481-4921. Son of Egg is located on 483 Broadway in Rensselaer, which isn't too far away.
Right next to the Amtrak.
Okay.
The train station.
Oh, right next to the train station.
It's right on the bottom of that bridge. So
oh,
it's
really?
A good location. Our patio has one of the best views of the Albany skyline. So
if you go past the train station.
Yeah, when you're about to take a right turn to the train station up that bridge to the station,
yeah,
we're right at the bottom. So you can't miss it. Big sign that says Son of Egg.
I go down there to pick her up when she goes like to New York or whatever. I'll have to stop in. We'll have to stop
okay.
in and see you.
See you and everyone listening.
Yeah, exactly. And like I told you, we do put it up on YouTube and we do put it up on my website, SaratogaBroadcasting.com.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad you were here today. I hope we can get you back next year at some point, and you may have four stores going.
Amazing blessings.
All right, Justin, appreciate it. So glad you're here.